Welcome to Chapter 52, Operation Key West. This chapter is unique in this regard. It not only represents the past, it also represents now what we're doing, and perhaps most importantly, it represents the future and where we want to go with this program. I'm just going to provide a brief background because most of the information is on our website, OperationKeyWest.com. This really started on Christmas Day, 2018, at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. We were sponsoring a Christmas dinner and party for those soldiers and their families that, for whatever reason, were unable to be home on the holidays. And we had done this before several times in the past. Anyway, Amy was the USO representative there, and we had worked with her before. She was very professional, and she kind of like coordinated the party event and what have you. During this party, this dinner, I happened to meet Amy's husband, Tom, and we had struck up a conversation. I mentioned to him that his wife was really special. She was great with us, with the troops. She just knew what she was doing. And Tom said, "You have no idea." He said, "There was a time a while back I was in Iraq in a war zone, and I got the message that my 7-year-old son had died." And he said, "I made my way home, and over those next few weeks, months, and since, she's kept things together." He wasn't sure he could. It was just, I just couldn't process that. So anyway, from there, we were on our way to Key West. We go to Key West. This is when they had the government shutdown. And we found that the Coast Guards were not included in the military. I never knew that. So while we're down there, we decided, you know, we hooked up with the American Legion with a gentleman by the name of Pat Ham, who was the president there. And we had an appreciation picnic, lunch, whatever, for the Coast Guard families that were stationed in Key West. The interesting thing about that event is there were hardly any males. It was all women and children. It turns out that they were, most of these, 90-some percent of them were at sea. And they weren't even, they weren't even aware, I don't think, of what was going on back in this country with the shutdown and the financial challenges that these families were facing. Anyway, on our way home, it was still in our mind about this experience that Tom had related. We decided we're going to get together and have lunch with Amy on the way back. We had lunch. We asked her if we could maybe treat her and Tom to a week in Key West. And after she got over the, just believe me, the shock of the offer, she agreed. And that's how it started. When they returned from Key West, we got an email letter from both of them reflecting the experience and how it impacted their relationship. After reading this email, this feedback, and reflecting upon it, my family decided that this is absolutely the course that we should take from here on out. Thus officially began Operation Key West. Before going forward, I should really explain why Key West, aside from the fact that we love the place. It's very simple. We felt that these families, these couples that have lost a child, deserve to spend some time where it's the combination of intimacy and fun. And I don't think there's a place on the planet that better reflects that combination than Key West, Florida. What makes these parents different than any other civilian parents who have lost a child is that when a civilian parent loses, the parents lose a child, and almost in every case, they have a family or friends support. These military couples do not. They are usually stationed probably far from where they grew up, so their families are not in the area. So they have to deal with this loss pretty much by themselves. And then oftentimes they're deployed or, you know, sent somewhere else. So they really don't get the same opportunity to mourn that everybody else gets to do. And that began to sink in when it was repeated to me by several different people, and why they were military people, why they were so excited and enthused about this program, which, by the way, had never existed before this, which kind of amazed me, given the fact that the military usually is pretty good inside the military with their own. But I'm going to be quoting one of my co-founders later in this chapter, and you'll get a better perspective on this topic. Speaking of co-founders, let me introduce to you my two co-founders. First up, retired General Ron Blank, the former Surgeon General of the Army. I met Ron a few years back. The reason I met him is I first met his nurse. Ron was the commander of Walter Reed back during the Iraq War, and I happened to meet his head nurse, Janet Southby, and we were chatting, and she told me, you know, we were asking questions. We were dealing now with the Walter Reed Society, as I mentioned in one of the earlier chapters. Anyway, she was telling me about General Blank, and said that when he was the commander at Walter Reed, once a week he would visit every injured soldier's room and ask if they needed anything. I thought to myself, I need to meet that guy. Anyway, I mean, who does that? It's just, I was taken by it. Anyway, we meet him, and we became friends. And when this opportunity, this Operation Key West began to crystallize, he was the first person that came to my mind. And so I asked him if he would like to join me in this venture. And his response, he said unequivocally yes. And that's how he got involved. But let me share a little personal story about General Blank. First of all, I was a private in the Army, and I only served 6 months active duty, so I'm not a military person. I was only in long enough to get a uniform and hit on the girl that worked at the PX. But anyway, Ron, whenever I was with him, he knew everybody, as you would expect. So one day he tells me that he and his lovely wife Donna are going to be in Philadelphia. So I thought, wow, this is a chance now for me to bring him into my, quote, world, unquote. So we agreed to have dinner at the Prime Rib in Philadelphia, which had been our favorite restaurant for a long, long time. Great place. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to being able to share my world with him for the first, maybe only time. So Kathy and I come walking in to the Prime Rib, and Donna is sitting at a table by herself. So I figure, you know, Ron may be, you know, parking the car or whatever. So we go up to her, and I said, Donna, I said, where's Ron? Parking a car? Oh, no, he's in the kitchen. He knows the chefs. I said, really? Does he know everybody everywhere? So my one flash of brilliance, of whatever, dissipated. But not for long. Where they're having a drink, and the host comes and says, our table's ready. So I knew the bartender, of course. So Ron puts his credit card on the bar. So I see this as my one and only opportunity as a private to give an order to a general. I'd said, Ron, pick up your card. Do not say a word. Go sit down. And he said, yes, sir. That was the highlight of my military career. Many, many decades, actually, after I was in the military. Anyway, that's a little background on General Blank, retired. He likes me to make sure I mention that. Now we come to my other co-founder, who was introduced to me by Ron Blank, and that is retired Admiral Harold Koenig. Admiral Koenig was aware of the program Operation Key West through Ron Blank, and I early on, after one or two conversations, asked him the same thing. Would he be interested in joining us as you know, in founding this program? And he wholeheartedly agreed also, which I was very happy with, because Admiral Koenig is the former Surgeon General of the Navy. So with those two former Surgeon Generals, we began this program. in one of my very early conversations, because I've never physically met Admiral Koenig, he told me a story that has stuck with me and reflects a lot of who he is. And that was, he has been a pediatric oncologist for his career of 40 years. And he told me a story about an 8-year-old boy who was dying and who wanted, he was his patient, and he had never flown, and he'd never been in a plane before. So Dr. Koenig arranged for the two of them, the doc and the boy, to take a shuttle flight from San Diego to L.A. and back. Planning this event, he brought in a friend of his who was an American Airlines pilot, who he comes to find out later paid for first-class tickets for both of them, and also had alerted the crew in the plane that they had a special passenger. Anyway, they go to LAX. They did not get off the plane, and then they returned back to San Diego. That brought me to the same rhetorical question that I previously asked about General Blank, and that is, who does this? And what doctor would take the time to spend with a patient like this? Before moving on, I would like to share a quote from Admiral Koenig regarding this overall challenge that we are involved in with Operation Key West. And that is, I quote, "The military provides care for a sick child and their families until the child dies. The parents are then abandoned at a time when they need us most," unquote. I think that says it all. It's these two gentlemen are the best, and it's easily understandable why they have reached, both of them, reached the pinnacle of military/medical standing by becoming surgeon generals of the respective services. Now, through Admiral Koenig, I come to meet Dr. Cole Bryant, who is the pediatric oncologist at the Portsmouth Naval Facility. Dr. Bryant has played an essential role in identifying couples as candidates for our Operation Key West program. And he and Christopher Brogan, who is the family life specialist at the same facility, his job is to deal with the parents in the aftermath of a death of a child. I don't envy that job in any way, shape, or form. In conclusion, our goal in Operation Key West is to be able to provide any military family that has either lost a child or has a seriously or chronically ill child some help, support, something that would help make a little bit of a difference either to the institution that's taking care of them, to the child themselves, or to the parents. In conclusion, I would just like to add that I am honored to be able to work with these four gentlemen. Next up, essential but elusive.